I am the project manager for the national evaluation of the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention's National Consumer Response Services Center, otherwise known as CDC Info. And I'll be talking about one component of a much broader evaluation, and that is the follow-up or the callback survey. So today, just briefly, we'll hopefully be talking about what you can cover in a follow-up survey versus an immediate satisfaction survey right after the call, and also talk about what you can look at in terms of measuring knowledge versus attitude versus behavioral objectives. And why this is important is, why these objectives are important is because CDC Info is a really complex initiative. They are charged with providing information on every single topic under CDC's purview. And basically, what we had to design for CDC was an information system that would give them continuous feedback and evaluation data. And so old notions of experimental design or setting up something with treatment and comparison just simply didn't apply here. This was a system that basically needed real-time data, data all the time, and data that they could use for continuous course improvement. And I imagine most of you probably know how large and complex CDC is. So when you think about a regular project, normally you've got one funding source, you've got one project officer that you report to. Well, we report not only to our project officer, but to subject matter experts, division directors, of which there are, over 25 that we have to report to. Coordinating center directors, if you know CDC, there are numerous coordinating centers. All of them have a stake in CDC Info. And so it's what's known at CDC as a cross-cutting initiative. It covers all of the divisions, all of the centers. They've all got a serious stake in what happens. It presented numerous challenges for us, but also a very exciting endeavor indeed for us. So our challenge as an evaluator was very daunting, and they put the evaluation announcement out as a small business set-aside, which was even more interesting. We had the challenge of how we were going to handle subject matter expertise as a small business. When you think about the fact that CDC handles everything from immunization to emergency response to bacterial diseases to vector-borne diseases to autism, and the list goes on and on and on, how as a small business do we handle evaluation of all of those topics? And I'll leave you to think about that, because that was a serious challenge of how we were going to tackle that one, but I will answer it in this session. So just briefly, what is CDC Info? This is essentially what they put out internally to their centers and divisions back in 2005. And what's underlined is very important, because it represented a radical change from how they were doing business before this. Before this, what they had is every division and center handling it their own way. HIV, AIDS, and STDs had their own hotline, which was operating actually very well, doing a great job. They had their own independent evaluation, which was showing some pretty positive results. Others actually weren't so happy. They had to take turns, the CDC staff, doing the weekend shift, sitting there in the office answering calls from the public. And nobody really liked having to do that, but they'd all have to take a turn at the desk and answer telephone calls. So there was everything in between, you know, you being assigned to having to field calls from the public to a formal hotline with a separate contractor that the HIV/AIDS STDs hotline. Immunization also had a hotline as well. So there were over 40 separate hotlines and warm lines all off operating on their own, and along comes a vision to take all of these hotlines and put it into one center, CDC Info. So that in itself was pretty monumental and groundbreaking. Now, you might wonder, did they do this all at once? Did they tell all 40 of them, plus all the divisions that were doing it on their own, hey, you're all coming over at once? No, they didn't. That would have been very difficult. They did it in a staggered fashion, a stepwise fashion, and that turned out to be very wise indeed, because it gave the contact center staff time to get up to speed. It gave CDC staff, because CDC staff, subject matter experts, actually wrote the content, so it gave them time to write content, time to pilot test it, time to roll it out in a staggered fashion. So CDC Info provides information to a wide variety of constituents. Also, there are multiple contact points at which you can reach them, as are most contact centers. They have a very broad scope with multiple contact points. So this is their mission, and we ended up really relying on every point in their mission to design our evaluation around. We viewed these points as our marching orders as we set up our benchmarks for how we were going to measure progress. We basically designed our evaluation around these goals. Sorry, zip through that. And it actually lined up very nicely with my company's mission. We really believe that evaluation should promote useful information, that data should drive decision making, and it should promote action. And our philosophy is really in line with what Patton calls utilization-focused evaluation. And we've always viewed evaluation as an integral part of program management. And so it really just fit right in with what CDC Info was looking for, and so how we applied our approach to the evaluation. So just quickly, a little bit about Patton for those of you that aren't familiar with his theory. The focus is on information that's going to be useful for decision makers and other key stakeholders. And what's really important is that if you're going to be using the evaluation information, it means you have to be involved in the process from start to finish. Again, it's very different from the scientific model where you're setting up an experiment and you're running it and you produce some report at the end. Rather, stakeholders are at the table from start to finish, and I'll talk a little bit about how that happened for CDC Info. Also, the data collected and the feedback delivered has to meet these three criteria. Otherwise, it's not a true utilization-focused evaluation. So to the stakeholders, the data has got to be meaningful, useful, and timely. And they really go together, because if the data that's coming out of the evaluation isn't helping the operation of the program itself, then the cornerstone of utilization-focused evaluation is not being met. And so what this also means is that the data and the feedback has to be produced in real-time fashion. And that means you've got to have some sort of mechanism. We ended up with a web-based mechanism where the data and feedback literally is available 24/7 in real-time fashion. In the back, I left copies of CDC's framework for program evaluation. They also based their framework off of Patton's work. And they put it together for their public health officials out in the field, because they found that increasingly public health officials were being asked to do evaluation, but they were being asked to do it really with no resources, no training, just being asked to do it. And so CDC saw the need to put together a guidance document for those officials in the field. It's also available online as well. But it's a fantastic document in plain language and clearly outlines the steps to conduct a utilization-focused evaluation. So we also look to this as a guidance document for putting ours together. So Patton's work involves one part called the design phase, building collaboration. Again, I mentioned stakeholders have to be at the table at the very beginning. One thing that's very important is you have to determine your two types of stakeholders. There are stakeholders who are, you know, who have a stake in what you're going to be doing, and then there's primary users of the information. And these are really two different groups of people. Your primary users of the information are people who, yes, have a stake in the evaluation, but the evaluation also has the ability to directly impact their job. versus general key stakeholders like perhaps a division director who, yes, is interested in CDC info. Are people calling about, let's say, HIV/AIDS happy with the service versus perhaps somebody who's working more directly with HIV, maybe somebody who's managing and working with all of the community-based health organizations that are referred to, that person is maybe more of a direct primary user of information. And indeed, one of those people at CDC was very involved in our work, and she would be looking directly at how often people were being referred out to community-based health information services. So these people were at the table, and they were extremely helpful in designing our follow-up survey. They took a look at what they had done with their contact center and with their callback survey. They had had one as well. And what they had advised us to do was to introduce a code word in the callback survey so that, because with the automated, I'll go through the how people enroll, but there was no way to get obviously names for confidentiality reasons, only a phone number to enroll. And so with that challenge, you would risk calling and perhaps getting the person who did not enroll in the survey, and you could have all sorts of confidentiality problems. So the HIV/AIDS group suggested that you have a code word given at the end of the call, and then when you call back for the callback survey, they need to give the code word. And so we implemented that as part of our protocol, and that was able to pass IRB and also OMB approval. So they were extremely helpful. And again, they were right there at the very beginning as we were planning the process. In the design phase also, you have your stakeholders involved in the logic model process. CDC info is so complex that we had 7 logic models. This was a very complicated process. So the one that is related to the callback survey is related to longer term effects, and so it had its own logic model. So then in developing the callback survey, we were very interested in looking at public health impact. And we had 2 surveys, an immediate satisfaction survey and then a longer-term follow-up survey. And so we were interested in looking at longer-term satisfaction. So we were able to ask people about their immediate satisfaction following the call, but then how does it over time, after they've had a chance to act on the information CDC Info has given them, are they still happy? Then we looked at dimensions of satisfaction that you really can't get at on an automated survey. On an automated survey, you're limited. You cannot get lengthy questions. They have to be things that you can press a button. So you really cannot get more than 6 questions or you lose people. And they have to be very simple questions. Versus a callback or a follow-up survey, it's done via interview and you can ask questions that are more detailed and complex. And so we asked about things like the agent's behaviors and the quality of the health information and any challenges that they might have encountered during the call. And that includes even challenges just getting through the automated system up front. So you can go into a lot more detail and nuance during the follow-up survey. We also asked them about their willingness to call again, to refer others, and have they referred others. These are also looked at as other proxy measures of satisfaction, because oftentimes when you ask people how satisfied you are, you get a ceiling effect, and so it's helpful to ask other questions that are related to satisfaction or highly correlated to satisfaction. CDC was also very interested in whether they were viewed as a trusted agency, and then also they're interested in do they get a lot of first-time or repeat callers. They also asked this, by the way, on the immediate satisfaction survey as well, and amazingly, and still, most of the callers to CDC Info are first-time callers. So with the knowledge, attitude, and behavior questions, if you recall, I asked, how do you measure change when you've got literally over 80 topics covered by CDC Info? What we realized we had to do was just design general questions. So for knowledge, we had to ask, did you learn something new? And if so, what was it? And we knew that there would be certain behaviors based on the HIV and immunization experiences, and so we did have drop-down menus for our surveyors. But then there was this fill-in-the-blank option. And every month, we would need to go through, look at the fill-in-the-blank option, and then create new drop-down options. For attitude, the same thing. Did what you learn inspire you to make a change? Again, a general question with drop-downs. So a lot of qualitative coding on our end, a lot of work on the back end, but well worth it because we didn't want to miss anything. And then finally on behavior, those who indicated that they learned something, we would then go on to the attitude change. Those who indicated they were motivated to make a change, we would then go on to the behavior question. So general open-ended questions allowed us to capture all 80 topics. And as you can guess, the largest volume, HIV/AIDS immunization, tended to get the most responses. Smaller volume topics tended to get the least, but still, you know, still of interest to them and still very valuable data. So as I mentioned, interview style, standard questions, reviewing monthly, a lot of qualitative work, but worth it because the results, especially for HIV/AIDS and STDs and immunization as well, very exciting results. Just quickly about the methodology, I mentioned the automated survey. Go through the questions. You have an option at the end to enroll in the survey, and it asks for your telephone number. You choose, so it's an active consent process. You're asked if you want to enroll. You have to push a button to indicate yes, and then there's another active part of the consent process where you have to input your phone number. And then it tells you at the end, you will be asked for the code word, and the code word is CDC info. Then we contact them 15 to 30 days post-call. We have a very rigorous protocol on screening to get the right person on the telephone. If there's any doubt as to getting the right person, they drop it. So we err on the side of extreme caution, which does lower our response rate somewhat, but our IRB was very insistent on that. English and Spanish, all of our surveyors are bilingual, and the surveyors are also blind to the survey results, so they don't know if the person they're calling was very happy with their immediate call or with the immediate satisfaction results, or if they were unhappy. They have no idea. We don't share those results with them because we don't want to bias them in any way. This is on the slide, so I won't go over that. But very interesting, of the group, over 75% say yes, they learned something. So CDC loves those results. They get very excited about that. And when you ask what they learned, some of it is very general. They say, well, my question was answered. We do have ways to link this back to what they originally asked about. And a lot of times it's related to, you know, an HIV question or an STD question. And they tend to fall mainly into those categories. But when you ask about change, this is where the HIV and the STD group get really excited. And again, we have all these categories because CDC covers so many topics, but the HIV-STD people love this. Reducing risky sexual behaviors is just such an amazing finding for them. And when we look at the demographics of the people who call CDC info about HIV and STDs, they have got the most beautiful demographic breakout that you will ever want to see. A very large proportion of African Americans, a very large proportion of Latino callers. So they've got just a rainbow group of callers who are using this service. And so it's really providing a valuable service to the community. And the first thing the web group said is, well, these people don't use the internet. So we said, well, let's look at the data. And I don't know if I don't have it on the slide here, but we looked at the data. Where did you go first for information? And the majority said the internet. So something's not working. People are looking for information on the internet and often the CDC website, but they're not finding what they need, and then they're calling CDC info. So the two together are very valuable sources of information for the public, and you need both of them, not just one, not just the other. And I think I made it on time, I hope. Thank you.